We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, this may be a little bit more just the fan side of me, but it's just going to be good to have baseball back, man. It's just going to be good to be back playing. It's going to be good to see Luis Robert running around center field. It's going to be good to see Giolito continue to build and where Moncada is growing to. You know, whether it's 60 games, whatever the schedule looks like, you know, any of that stuff is important from the executive side of me in terms of what it means for the White Sox and how we continue to build to where we want to be on an annual basis. But fundamentally, it's just going to be good to watch some baseball. There's only so many times I can watch that Eloy home run at Wrigley last year and, you know, not wind up thirsty for more. Let's go.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
That's what I love about White Sox GM Rick Hahn. He's a really smart, well-educated man, all of that. But there's also that fan side to him that comes out. There's a relatability to Rick Hahn, which I think is excellent in this crop of GMs and presidents of organizations that are all about the smarts in the background. And every once in a while, you hear the Hahn fan coming out. And those are some of my favorite moments with him. I am indeed Mark Grody, in for Dan Bernstein here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's continue to talk about the White Sox, who are working out on the south side at Guaranteed Rate Field today. And joining us now of Sox Machine is Josh Nelson. You can find him on Twitter at @SoxMachine_Josh. What's going on, Josh?
I'm doing well, Mark. I spent over $100 at the local butcher shop. I'm ready for the weekend.
What is the primary meat that you spent the money on? Or is it just a bit of, or are you entertaining so you had to get multiple meats?
So I live in Lincoln Square. So we got Gene's here on Lincoln for those that live on the north side of Chicago. I was there to get bratwurst. They just brought some recently cut New York strip steaks, so I obviously had to get those. I had to grab some chicken breasts, and then they had, you know, fresh pierogies that they brought out from the back, so I had to get those too. I was there for like one item, and I walked out with a $111 tab. So things are going well right now in the household.
Oh man. Dude, that's like when you, or at least I, and I think a lot of people, when I go to Target for one thing, I inevitably spend, I think on average, I'm going to say $63.52. I can't go to Target and not spend $63.52.
Right, because you see things that, oh, you know what, I remember, I actually do need this. Or then you suddenly get into the want list, and then things get out of control.
Right. And then, yeah, and then you get all practically like, you know what? I do need new towels. I do need new towels at this point. I've been running with the same towels. I need a new pillow. Yep. I need sheets. Yep. Another $30 right there. So, all right. Well, good. I'm glad that you are fully stocked for this 4th of July weekend. And everybody's excited about the White Sox. And there's obvious things we could talk about. I want to play a little game with you here to start off this segment, and I'm going to call it here, making this up right now. It's going to be, will we see this person play this year? And
okay.
I'm going to go hard. I'm going to start right away here with with the White Sox, number one draft pick this year, Garrett Crochet. Is there any chance that we'll see Garrett Crochet pitch in a White Sox game this year?
You know, he needs to throw because he didn't pitch much for the University of Tennessee. He only had one appearance, which was a little more than three innings. He pitched the three and a third innings against Wright State. I'm going to go ahead and say yes, because I expect the White Sox to be in contention. And at some point, if Jace Fry does not pick up his game and he's not that reliable left-handed arm out of the bullpen to be paired with Aaron Bummer, Mark, Rick Hahn's going to need that. And I'll be quite frank, I can't believe that there's a trade deadline for this season, but there is one for August 31st. I wonder how iffy GMs are going to be trying to acquire another player from another team when you are not 100% sure they're following the medical procedures that Major League Baseball has laid out. So Rick Hahn needs to make a late season addition for the bullpen. He's got a fantastic arm in Garrett Crochet. Don Cooper has been through this drill already, having a college supreme left-hander get ready in their first year in Chris Sale. So they know the drill, and it's just a matter of how quickly can they get Garrett Crochet ramped up to help. I don't expect a lot of appearances. Maybe he'll appear in three games, Mark. But if it's a yes or no question, I'm going to go ahead and say yes. I could see Garrett Crochet join the White Sox late this season.
Fascinating. I love that answer on Crochet. I definitely want to see him. All right, number the second guy is the White Sox 2019 first-round pick, number three overall. He is out of University of California, Berkeley. He is first baseman. He is Andrew Vaughn. He's on the roster. Will we see Andrew Vaughn play for the White Sox this year?
I'm going to say no, but if he does, there's been some bad news. Andrew Vaughn plays this year, Mark, if Jose Abreu gets hurt, if Edwin Encarnacion gets hurt, and if Zach Collins does not hit. If two of those three situations happens, then we'll see Andrew Vaughn, and it will be exciting because Andrew Vaughn's a very good hitter, and we have another young player to get hyped about on the White Sox side. But it would come with bad news in the sense of that the White Sox are really leaning on Jose Abreu and Edwin Encarnacion in 2020 to be those veteran bats, to be built around Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, and Luis Robert and Tim Anderson to try to solidify this lineup. So I'm going to say no, because knock on wood, the White Sox avoid injuries. And we'll see Andrew Vaughn sometime in 2021.
Fair enough. Last guy is, and this may be a question of actually how much as opposed to if, but I'll just play along with my little game here. Will we see Nick Madrigal play for the White Sox this year?
Yes, we will see Nick Madrigal. And there is no topic that I enjoy more than talking about service time manipulation.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if we're going to see Nick Madrigal for the first week, Mark.
Okay.
I could see the White Sox holding Madrigal back and carrying more pitchers to get through the first 2 weeks of the season while Madrigal gets more reps for the taxi squad. In March, when it was spring training 1.0, Nick Madrigal wasn't performing all that well. He wasn't setting himself apart from Lourdes Garcia and Danny Mendick for the second base starting job for the White Sox. Now, obviously, everything has changed, and here we are in July, and there's still that competition, but there's no games. I mean, they have inter-squad scrimmages, so I don't know how Rick Hahn is going to make that decision. I don't know if he's going to lean heavily on Rick Renteria to help him make that decision on who the White Sox starting second baseman is, because going back to Rick Hahn's fan side of him, I'm sure he's tired of being the GM with seven straight losing seasons. If you want to win, you need to get out of the gate quickly. And then the question is, who of these three players gives us the best chance to win right away in 2020? If that answer is Lourdes Garcia, then Nick Madrigal is going to be on the taxi squad for a couple of weeks. But Lourdes Garcia has gotten hurt. And if Garcia pulls a hammy, then I would prefer Nick Madrigal over Danny Mendick to be that second baseman for the rest of the season for the White Sox. So I do think we'll see Nick Madrigal. I don't think he's going to play all 60 games, and probably around 40 games this year. and the White Sox will work it out that they gain an extra year of his service time.
That is Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. I'm Mark Grody here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, in for Dan Bernstein here until noon today on The Score. Then it is the Lawrence Holmes Show, noon until 2 o'clock. Carlos Rodon has become an intriguing guy for the White Sox in terms of what role he will play. When Ricky Renteria was on The Score inside the clubhouse last Saturday with Bruce Levine and David Haw, he slipped in there. Yeah, maybe we'll see Carlos Rodon come out of the bullpen for two or three innings. Is Rodon, while he's still with the White Sox, is that what he is destined to be now, a reliever, or do you still see him getting a shot to start?
Oh, that's such a great question. I'm really interested to see how Rick Renteria handles the pitching staff the first 2 weeks of the season. Is anyone going to go more than five innings? Is Giolito physically going to be ready to go six or seven innings right out of the gate? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. So he may have to go, like Giolito pitches four innings, and then he's paired with Carlos Rodon, which Rodon takes care of innings five through seven before handing off the ball to Aaron Bummer or Steve Cishek or Alex Colome to close out the game. And the other thing with Carlos Rodon, they weren't expecting him to be ready to appear in any type of game action until June. Well, it's July, so physically he should be healthy, but there's a lot of rust there. He hasn't had in-game experience in a while, and it's the same thing with Michael Kopech. So I pair Kopech and Rodon in the same boat that the White Sox were hoping to give them some games down in Charlotte just to break off the rust and get back into game rhythm before throwing them into the deep end in Chicago. They're not going to get that opportunity. So to limit their exposure, just in case that there is a lot of rust built up, I could see Rick Renteria using Michael Kopech and Carlos Rodon out of the bullpen. That would be kind of fun to see on how mentally Kopech and Rodon accept that opportunity or that challenge, because both have electric stuff, and if they can turn up their stuff to 110%, I mean, you're gonna have Kopech hitting 102 miles an hour out of the bullpen, and you're gonna have Rodon try to hit 96 with that slider, and that's going to be a really tough lefty to hit off. So I don't see Carlos Rodon being a starter in 2020, but the question will still remain going into 2021 on what the White Sox will be doing with Carlos Rodon now they suddenly have starting pitching depth.
I really like what you said about Michael Kopech, and I do want to see him, what he looks like ultimately as a starter. But the idea of quote-unquote easing him in, I suppose, and I don't know if you could say that when you bring a guy in, you know, high leverage, but to maybe take a little bit of that pressure off of Kopech right away to come in and be this superstar guy, to ease him in. Do you think they might do? I mean, I know this is your idea, but do you think they might be considering Kopech as a bullpen guy to start off?
It would be borderline unfair if you had Gio Gonzalez and Dallas Keuchel start a game and go four innings and then bring Michael Kopech in. Because you're going from one scouting report of a soft-tossing lefty, in which both Gonzalez and Keuchel lean more on their changeup and their sinking fastballs these days. And then you're bringing in Kopech. Like, how is this fair? And it's kind of like how Major League Baseball is in general, but with Major League Baseball, for a lot of teams, it's one high-velocity guy, and you bring in another high-velocity guy. Okay, this is going to be somewhat similar, but it would be a total world difference for opposing hitters if they had to face the White Sox, and that came to be that situation. So I kind of like that idea for the White Sox to pair up a Gonzalez and Kopech and see if you can get through seven innings with those two pitchers before handing the ball off to the bullpen. The one thing I have to address, and this is a problem for all teams, I could see some teams overtaxing their bullpens.
Yes.
Because these guys are most used to throwing one inning. I would advise against that for a lot of teams because you're going to need them later in the season. But I think for the White Sox, with the starting pitching that they do now have, Mark, they should think about try to split the game in two thirds. And until you get about halfway through the season and then Giolito feels strong enough to go six innings and it's safe for him health-wise to go six innings, then you can kind of change the game plan. But for the first 2 weeks of the season, if Kopech is healthy and he's throwing well during these inter-squad scrimmages, yeah, throw him out of the bullpen and have him take care of innings 5, 6, maybe sometimes 7 before handing the ball off to the bullpen.
God, there's just so many things to think about, and it's fascinating. And these are all things that we can talk about and tinker with, but ultimately it falls on the shoulders of Rick Hahn. And moreover, the guy sitting in the bench, and that's Ricky Renteria. Do you think that Renteria has the kind of creative mind that it will take to get through a year like this with the talent that he appears to have on the field as well?
Man, you know, it's Friday of 4th of July weekend, and you're just coming at me, Mark, with all these answers.
Hey, man, I'm not screwing around here. This is a real day to me.
Yeah. That's such a great question. Is Rick Renteria creative? Compared to other managers, let's say like Kevin Cash or the Tampa Bay Rays, no. The Rays are the most creative team, and I think the Rays are the most well-built team for the 60-game sprint of a season because they've embraced platoon splits, and they embrace the opener, and the entire team has embraced that type of mentality where Rick Renteria is more old school, you know, have the starting pitcher try and make it 7 innings and always have Jose Abreu bat third. And it would be really challenging to see what Rick Renteria does, but it does give him this opportunity to break out of the mold and show some of his creative side. Are we going to see more bunting? I really hope not. But as far as his lineup construction now, he's got a lot deeper of a lineup than he's been using the last couple of years for the White Sox. And with the situation that his starting pitching is not going to be 100% ready to go as far as endurance-wise out of the gate, I think we're going to learn a lot more about Rick Renteria this season and how he handles these 60 games. Because if he can navigate through these waters and if he can help the White Sox make the postseason, I think that will be really promising as far as confidence level, especially from White Sox fans with Rick Renteria 2021 and beyond. But if the White Sox don't finish above 500 and if they just look like they're not up to the challenge for these 60 games, I do wonder, Mark, if there will be clamoring from White Sox fans on a manager replacement going to 2021. I don't think it's likely. But this is a true test for Rick Renteria and also pitching coach Don Cooper, veterans of the game. But this is something both of them are going to be learning at the same time on dealing with. And can they get outside of their comfort zone to meet this challenge?
All right, one more $500 question for you to take off the board. And that is, okay, Jose Abreu, Eloy Jimenez, Edwin Encarnacion, Yoan Moncada, or somebody I'm not thinking of, who hits the most home runs out of that crew?
I think it's going to be Eloy Jimenez, but keep an eye on Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu in his career performs at his best in the month of August. His second best month that he performs in is September. He has been a warm weather hitter for as long as he's been with the White Sox. I was looking through as far as some stats for an upcoming piece on Sox Machine to see if you use 2019 stats for the last 60 games of the season, how would that leaderboard have looked? Jose Abreu drove in 50 RBIs in the last 60 games of 2019. He had 11 home runs, and I think that would have led the White Sox in that category. So I feel like it's going to be Eloy Jimenez. I feel like he's ready for a breakout year. Even if it was a 162-game season, I just felt like he was someone that could hit 40 home runs in 2020, and I'll chalk him up for 40 home runs in 2021. But Jose Abreu, man, he performed so well in August and September. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit like 15 home runs in 2020 to lead the White Sox both in home runs and in RBIs.
All right. I like it, man. All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your bratwurst and sorting through your hundreds of dollars of fresh meat from the butcher shop and on the north side of the city, my friend. Great stuff, Josh. And thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Thank you so much for having me and have a great weekend.
All right, man. You too. That is Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. as you could hear, always great insight what's going on with the Southside Ball Club. And you could find Josh Nelson on Twitter at @SoxMachine_Josh. We're going to talk Cubs with Tim Stebbins of NBC Sports Chicago at 11 o'clock, a little bit over 40 minutes from right now. Coming up next, this is the tweet from Ian Rappaport, potentially big news, and I will report it to you after this break. I'm Mark Grody, in for Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
All right, this is from Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network. Potentially big news, he writes. The Redskins have been having internal discussions about their team name and now will conduct a formal, thorough review, full statement, including quotes from owner Dan Snyder on a possible name change. And I just happen to have the statement from the Washington Redskins. This comes directly from their public relations department, and we have it here freshly for you. And this is from, again, the Washington Redskins. In light of recent events around our country and feedback from our community, the Washington Redskins are announcing the team will undergo a thorough review of the team's name. This review formalizes the initial discussions the team has been having with the league in recent weeks. Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, stated, quote, "This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization, sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community it is proud to represent on and off the field." Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins, remarked, quote, "This issue is of personal importance to me, and I look forward to working closely with Dan Snyder to make sure we continue the mission of honoring and supporting Native Americans and our military." Close quote. And then this last sentence from the press release says, "We believe this review can and will be conducted with the best interest all in mind." So finally, somebody got to Dan Snyder. And no matter where you fall on teams with the Indian nickname or logo, whatever it is, Blackhawks, Indians, Braves, I think most people can agree that Redskins is bad, that that connotation is negative and should not exist, and this probably should have happened a lot sooner. It's interesting because I remember hearing Ron Rivera, the new Washington head coach, on with McNeil and Parkins, and they might have gotten the ball rolling on all of this. Listen to Rivera with McNeil and Parkins on The Score.
Ron, given all of these conversations that you're having with your football team, do you think your football team's name should change?
I think that's a discussion for another time. And again, I feel that a guy that's, you know, my age, my era, you know, that was always part of football, the name of the Washington Redskins.
Do you mean another time from this radio show, because, or another time with the moment? Because like a lot of monuments are changing, people are changing.
I think it's all about the moment and the timing. But you know, I'm just somebody that's from a different era. That when football wasn't such a big part of the political scene. You know, that's one of the tough things for me too. Is I've always wanted to try to keep that separate. You know, people have wanted me to get involved in politics, you know, while I was coaching. And I kept telling them, you know, it's not for me to get up here and influence people. You know, I have my beliefs. I know what I think. You know, I support the movements. You know, I support the players. I believe in what they're doing. And, again, you know, I think that there are certain elements and certain things that's all about the timing and the best time to discuss those things.
That's Chico Ron Rivera on The Score 4 days ago on the McNeil and Parkins show here on 670. The Score, Ron Rivera, of course, member of the 85 Bears, former Bears linebackers coach and defensive coordinator as well with Philadelphia, many stops along the way. So a familiar voice around here to a lot of people, and now an influential voice with the Washington Redskins. I'm also seeing now a statement from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, and he says, quote, "In the last few weeks, we have had ongoing discussions with Dan, and we are supportive of this important step." And Dan would be Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington Redskins. So this is getting done. This is going to happen. The Washington is going to end up changing their name. Will it be for this season? I think so. I think it probably will be. I mean, that's a lot of changes in manufacturing and logos and sales and all that kind of stuff. But I think we're at the point where, at least with that name, and probably we should have sensitivity to other names as well. I do. But I think with that name, even if you are the most ardent of supporters of that logo and the history and all that, I think you get, if you really step away from it, you can see it in that direction. And I get it. I do get it. Like, if you're a fan of a team and your logo changes, your mascot changes, if you're not necessarily educated on what it really means and what the hurt it could cause in people, it sucks. I mean, like, if the Blackhawks lost their logo, which might happen, that would suck. I would hate it, but I would understand it because I am not Native American, and so it would be ignorant of me to try to, you know, impose my will or my opinion towards keeping it if a group of people are offended by it. It would be completely ridiculous of me to have a say on it. But you know that. If you're sitting there and you're a Blackhawks fan, and look, I remember when John McDonough came to the Blackhawks, and he was right. I mean, he said and many people have said it, it's the best logo in the National Hockey League, one of the best logos in sports, you know. But if the Indians are offended by it and they think it should come down, then it should come down. And I can't say that I'm here to argue against that at all. Also today, right here on 670 The Score, the guys had on, it was Zach and Coom and Thayer, they had on former Washington quarterback Doug Williams. And for all you youngsters out there, Doug Williams once won a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins. He was a terrific quarterback. He shared his thoughts this morning on the Washington Redskins.
You know, don't really know. I look at this thing, man, and a lot of people have called me and asked me about it. But this is how I view it. As an employee, you don't have no say-so what happens. And I think at the end of the day, it has to be the ownership, whether or not it's the minority ownership, the majority ownership. They have to put their heads together and make that decision. We as employees, we got to follow their lead. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, people want players to talk up and say it. I think it's unfair to put players in that position. They're employees. And at the end of the day, and I know you might have big name players that you want to step out there and say something, but I think it's unfair. I think the only somebody who could stand up and say something actually, you know, what the Nike and the FedEx did, that's their business side of it. But I think from the ownership side of it, it's in Mr. Snyder's hand and his partners to make that decision. I think that's the only fair way to do it.
Doug Williams, who is an executive with the Washington Redskins these days, and yes, the days are dwindling in which you will hear anybody use that nickname. And Doug Williams was great, by the way. If you want to go back on the radio.com app and check that interview out with Zach and Coom and Thayer, very direct, very succinct, and just a really thoughtful guy from a lot of different perspectives. But honestly, I don't think there's a lot more we have to do on this topic. It's good. Now it's like it can kind of end. I don't think that there should be any outrage on the other side of this, other than, yeah, then there's that part. It sucks. Yeah, it sucks that the franchise has to change like that. You take your team seriously. You take the nickname seriously. But you also have to take into account what it truly means. And it ain't good. So what is good is that internal discussions are going on with the Washington Redskins. I do believe there will be a change. I think there's going to be a change for this season. So we can leave it at that. I'm not going to bring up a controversy where there is none, because I just don't think there's a different side to this one. I really don't. That said, to get you tuned up for the Cubs and our conversation coming up at 11 o'clock with Tim Stebbins of NBC Sports Chicago. Jose Quintana, as you have heard, is going to be out for a little while out of the Cubs starting staff. And this is an email from the Cubs that I have here. It said, last Saturday, while washing dishes in his home from Miami, Quintana suffered a laceration in his left thumb. Laceration. That required 5 stitches. Yesterday morning in Chicago, Quintana underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to further determine the extent of his injury. The procedure identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb, which was surgically repaired. Quintana is expected to resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which time a further determination will be made on expected length of absence. Again, that's coming from the Cubs. So my first reaction was, well, yeah, that kind of stinks for the Cubs. But it wasn't like overwhelming or like, oh, the Cubs are screwed now. He is your fourth starter. He is replaceable. I know that you don't want to hear that, but that is the case. And the Cubs are better off with Jose Quintana in the rotation, but this is by no means a death blow to the Cubs. There are some alternatives here, and seemingly at least the top candidate that keeps popping off the page and out of the mouth of Theo Epstein is Alex Mills, 28 years old, made 4 starts last year for the Cubs. Colin Ray, another guy who just has had a kind of a trippy career, 30 years old at this point, 25 career starts. Neither of those guys really moves the meter, but they would move into a fifth starter role. And which fifth starter really in Major League Baseball, unless it's like the Dodgers, moves the meter? So whatever. I guess the guy that I'm most intrigued by in terms of ceiling and potential still is Albert Alzolay. Remember him? Yeah. The 25-year-old in his second big league year. That would be this year. You remember his first big league appearance last year? It was kind of a big deal because really there, 2015 and 16 and then to a lesser degree 17, you had this like parade of debuts for the Cubs and all this excitement in the farm system and who's coming up to, oh, there's Ian Happ opening up in Cincinnati. Look at that. You know, and then it has dwindled because everybody is here and everybody has made their mark. So last year when Alzolay came up, it was like, oh, it was probably disproportionately covered just because it was a guy that you'd been hearing about, not necessarily a top tippity top prospect, but the guy that in the preseason we heard about, like, he's going to be the first guy that's going to come. And then there he came. It was June 20th against the Mets at Wrigley Field. Conforto! Tyler Chatwood started the game. Chatwood goes four innings, and then here comes Adbert Alzolay out of the pen, and he was great. Four innings, one run, five strikeouts, couple of walks, solid. And then he did the bow. Remember, which I actually love. I hated that Adbert Alzolay took crap when he came off the mound, and 40,000 of yous at Wrigley Field gave him a standing ovation like you're supposed to do, and Alzolay bowed to the crowd as opposed to just giving the casual little I'm too cool to really stop and enjoy and appreciate. And then, of course, everybody on the Cubs gave him crap. And I'm like, no, that's the way you do it. Like, there are some guys who just kind of keep their head down and throw their hand up and don't really appreciate what the crowd is doing. And Alzolay just gave him the bow, and then he took forever crap after that, which I hated. But anyway, he does that. It's a terrific beginning to his career. It's out of the bullpen. Made a start three or four days later against the Braves, and he was a bit wild in that particular game against Atlanta, a good hitting team. He gets four strikeouts and four walks over four plus. Not particularly good. July 1st, then, horrid. Crushed in Pittsburgh as a starter. Allowed seven runs on 10 hits over three innings, which is not good. One inning of relief then in Milwaukee in September, and then that was it. He was donezo. I think he was sent back down. Either that or he just took a place way down the end of the bullpen. So I'm still very curious to see exactly what Alzolay is. And I don't know, maybe you can't screw around in a season where you have 60 games, but a lot of those guys at this point don't really, like, when you get down to your four and five guys, they're just not going to be as pertinent this year. And it's going to be interesting to see what kind of creativity both managers in town come up with. We talked about it with Ricky Renteria, and it's the same with David Ross. How's he going to handle things? Nobody knows what it's going to look like. Is it going to be Kyle Schwarber constantly being your DH? I mean, he definitely is the prototype. He's the guy that you've basically been grooming to be a DH since you drafted him in 2014. Same year as Carlos Rodon he was drafted, by the way. I don't know why I always look at it in terms of that. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes down. And I do understand the widely accepted theory that anything can happen in a 60-game season where the DL gets an entirely new level called COVID-19, basically. So, yes, I get when you say the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Baltimore Orioles could go on a 9-game winning streak and may play in the postseason, and they could be real in 2020. That said, the best teams will still rise to the top this year. In a shortened season, the best teams more than ever are going to be the teams with the best pitching. Good old-fashioned pitching is what wins when it is truncated, especially aces at the top of your rotation. Just like the postseason, when it's a short series, it is absolutely about pitching, period. Every pitch counts. That's the way it's going to feel a lot of times, especially in the final 30 games of the season. It's about the pitching. And by my theory, look out for the Washington Nationals again. They don't have a problem with their nickname. The Washington Nationals, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Patrick of the Corbins. Yeah, Rendon is gone, but those three. American League, I got two teams for you. One of them was mentioned earlier by Josh Nelson, and that's the Rays, man. Look out for the Rays in general. Blake Snell, old Charlie Morton, and Tyler Glasnow. They're gonna be formidable. Good bullpen, good team in general. Watch the Rays. The Yankees, of course. Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino, Tanaka, and James Paxton. And I'll give you a few other honorable mentions. How do the Cubs and White Sox stack up? Cubs worry me in this regard right now. They have one pitcher in that rotation from whom I know what I am getting, and that is Kyle Hendricks. Jose Quintana out injured. We just talked about that. I can't predict Lester at this age, and neither can you. Maybe he'll give you goodness, but you don't know. No idea what Tyler Chatwood will look like when he knows he's got to start every fifth day. That was not good 2 years ago. Alec Mills, don't know if Yu Darvish will pick up where he left off. So I'm a bit down on the Cubs starters. I just feel like Kyle Hendricks is the only one that I pretty much know what I'm going to get from him. That brings me to the Cubs bullpen. And this was from Cubs pitching coach Tommy Hottovy. It wasn't all about COVID-19. He actually did have a couple of baseball things. And Tommy Hottovy was talking about how the Cubs bullpen may look or how deep they may go. And we'll get to Tommy Hottovy here in just a second, because that is part of the creativity that is going to have to come in, and the answers from David Ross and from Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer on where these guys are going to end up going, coming out of the bullpen, and for how many innings they will be. Remember, the Cubs have Craig Kimbrell back again this year. Rowan Wick, who I love. Love Rowan Wick. I think he may end up being the closer. Jeremy Jeffress is definitely going to get a shot at that. He has thrived in that position at certain times in his career. Brad Wick, Kyle Ryan. But here was Tommy Hottovy on the Cubs bullpen.
It's going to be interesting. Obviously, with the expanded rosters early, you're going to be afforded some extra length. You know, probably have some extra bullpen arms that can bridge the gap for you. I think you're going to see a lot of guys early, you know, especially some relievers that are going to be able to go 2 and 3 innings for you. Now that we have the DH, especially, you don't have as many double switches in our league. You're going to be able to see, you know, some guys go out there and get extended.
All right. So that is Tommy Hottovy trying to answer questions about the bullpen and what that will mean this year. White Sox, two guys you can count on. I think Lucas Giolito, Dallas Keuchel, Kopech, Cease, Lopez, Gonzalez. No idea at this point. Okay. We have some Sox news here. This is from Scott Merkin. And according to Merkin of MLB.com, Michael Kopech is not in Chicago. He's been excused with permission from the ball club to not report to attend to a personal matter. No time frame for his return at this point. And this is, now I'm getting a quote here from Rick Hahn on Kopech. He says, it's never ideal when any individual is dealing with off-field matters. You're dealing with human beings. People have lives. This is a unique time we're living with. We fully support Michael and will provide him with whatever time and resources he needs. So again, Michael Kopech, White Sox young pitcher, not with the team right now while he deals with some personal issues, which the Sox are obviously aware of and obviously supporting him in. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen, I think that we still want to fit these guys in the types of roles that they have. I think that as an organization, we will consider all facets, you know, maybe having guys piggyback each other, certainly having picking the right guy to possibly be an opener, things of that nature. I think that all things being equal, the time, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, the time that we've been down have allowed guys to continue to heal and to rehab. And now, you know, they're going to be in a position where they might, you know, put themselves here with us now. And help us. I mean, there are certainly been some things that we could have taken advantage of, obviously playing from the get-go, but that was not meant to be. Right now, we'll try to be as creative as possible without hurting anyone.
Sox manager Ricky Renteria. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, in for Burnsy today. And Renteria may be without that particular weapon, Michael Kopech, to start the season. We don't know yet, but this tweet, according to many of the White Sox beat guys now, and in particular here is Scott Merkin of MLB.com, Sox.com. Michael Kopech is not in Chicago has been excused with permission from the club to not report to attend to a personal matter. No time frame for his return at this point. And this is what Rick Hahn said on Kopech. He says, quote, "It's never ideal when any individual is dealing with off-the-field matters. You're dealing with human beings. People have lives. This is a unique time that we are living with. We fully support Michael and will provide him with whatever time and resources he needs." So Kopech not around right now. And I've been told, too, that Scott Merkin will be on with the Arkishes, with both Hub and Arthur of the Arkishes. They will be on, as a matter of fact, the Arkishes starting at noon today, noon until 5. But Merck will join them to talk about the White Sox, and in particular, Kopech. That'll happen at 3 o'clock today. So we're going to monitor that for you here on this show and throughout the day on 670 The Score. What that means for the White Sox on the field, I don't know. I mean, we had a great conversation earlier today with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, and he suggested that maybe Kopech would be best suited to come out of the bullpen to start the year, and I support that idea just to make him feel like he doesn't have to be, like, overdo it and get crazy splashy in a start to begin the year, although high leverage sometimes forces guys' adrenaline to go up about 8 or 9 points too. But I would like to see Kopech eased in, and there's no doubt about it. You throw Dallas Keuchel in there for 4 or 5 innings, and then you bring the heat with Kopech at 102 or whatever it is. I haven't seen any YouTube videos this year on Kopech. Whatever it is that he is throwing, I think that would be ideal. But right now, you hope that he is okay, and you hope that ultimately he can help the team. But it looks like the White Sox have struck all the right notes in terms of what they're saying and supporting him. And we will continue to monitor this situation and see what comes up. Coming up on this show in just a little bit, we will get more into the Chicago Cubs with Tim Stebbins of NBC Sports Chicago. You can keep your text coming too at 312-644-6767. Like the 847, Alec Mills, not Alex. Come on, man. Did I say Alex? I'm just going to say maybe I did. Didn't mean to. Sorry about that. I know, that's annoying. Let's see. From the 773, it's a name of a football team. Washington football fans will be just fine. I completely agree. And if you have not heard, it sounds like, based on the information that we've gotten via email from the Washington Redskins, internal discussions going on with that team today, right now, about changing, about getting rid of the Redskins name and logo and changing it to something differently. And yeah, I mean, I am not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, because I think that no matter where you are on your particular team, which has an Indian mascot, whether it is the Cleveland Indians or the Atlanta Braves or the Florida Seminoles or the Florida State Seminoles, or is it the Chicago Blackhawks, this is the one where, and I don't know that there's a debate on any of them, but this is the one where there's absolutely no other side to it. Redskins, it is a negative connotation, so I am not going to do a whole 2-hour topic and take calls and text messages, because I just don't think that there is any kind of other side left to it. I completely agree with that texture there. Look, we're all sports fans. It's serious. Yes, sports is serious. I don't like when people say sports is, like, not serious, because we take it very seriously. We are on the side of our teams, and sports has shaped many of us and many of you listening. But you don't need to have a nickname that insults a large group of people. That is just completely unnecessary. Absolutely unnecessary. All right, let's take the break. Still to come on the show, so we have a lot in the 11 o'clock hour. Tim Stebbins of NBC Sports Chicago talk about Cubs at 11. And then I am going to do a segment of Where Are They Now Baseball Style 2020, all the shifting around that goes every year. Players that were on the Cubs and Sox, that where are they now? Players that sign with different teams that you are familiar with, stars, some guys that are not stars. So we will get into that a little bit later on, because damn it, I went through every single roster, every single depth chart, and picked out the names that popped off the page to me, that names that my brain and my eyeballs went to, and I will give you that full list a little bit later on. But we are talking Cubs with Stebbins next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.